paper, and we're moving on in our study of Moses, and tonight we're going to deal with Moses and the burning bush, listening to the voice of God, listening to the voice of God. We're over in Exodus 3. Let's look there, Exodus 3. In Exodus 3, the Bible says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law." By the way, last week we said Moses out in the desert did pretty good. He got a wife and a home and a job out there in the wilderness. And you say, well, big deal. Yeah, well, God provided all that. See, even in the wilderness, God can provide. You ever think about that? A little side note. But he's back there now, and he's working. He's keeping the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto a place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And let's pray. Lord, once again, as we study Moses' life, I pray that you would speak to us. You would show us truths that we need. We thank you again for this great man of God. Thank you for his faith, for his diligence, for how you were able to use him. And what an example he is. Lord, help us. Help us to learn tonight. Help us to be open-hearted tonight. To hear the voice of the Holy Spirit tonight. As you speak to us, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've talked about Moses on the backside of the desert last time. And while he's out there, we read about this event. And most of us are familiar with Moses and the burning bush. But we want to kind of focus on that tonight and see some things. And again, the major idea here is listening to the voice of God. You know, God can speak to us anywhere, anytime. We don't need to be in church, have God speak to us. We don't need to be in any special environment. We don't have to have the perfect circumstances. We don't even have to have really quiet surroundings for God to be able to speak to us. There's one key to hearing God speak to us. That's to be listening for his voice. To be attentive to the voice of God. no matter where we are, no matter what's going on. Sometimes God's voice is going to be dramatic and forceful. I don't know if you've had the experience I have where, boy, I knew God was speaking to me. And other times His voice is that still small voice. Regardless, we need to have an ear to hear Him. See, God's speaking to us, and God's voice is not going to have any effect on us if we're not listening and ultimately responding to whatever God says. Now, we're looking at Moses, and God speaks to him out of that burning bush. And we see the reactions of Moses to what's going on here as God talks to him. And we need to learn some things, again, from Moses about God speaking to us. Our first point is this. When God spoke to Moses, Moses gave God his attention. Moses stopped to listen to what God had to say. One man told this story. I think it's really appropriate here. It's about a young executive, and he's driving through a neighborhood in his new Jaguar. He's kind of watching for kids darting out, but he didn't see anybody around. And all of a sudden, a brick smashed into the side of his car. Brand new Jaguar. Of course, he slammed on the brakes. And he sees this small boy on the sidewalk, and he jumps out of the car, and he starts yelling at the kid, "What are you doing? Throwing a brick in my new car!" And the boy looked at him and said, "I'm sorry, mister. I'm really sorry, but I don't know what else to do." The boy said, "I threw the brick because nobody else would stop. I need help. My brother rolled off the curb and fell out of his wheelchair, and I can't get him up." He said, "Won't you help me?" So the man went over, helped get the boy back in the wheelchair. And the boy that threw the brick looked at him and said, "Thank you, sir, and may God bless you." The man was just beside himself. He was shook up for the words that this boy said to him. And he was kind of in shock, and he watched as the boy now starts pushing his brother down the sidewalk on their way home. The guy went back, got in his car. He got in that car and he drove off. But you know, he never got the car fixed. He kept the dent in the door of that car. He did it because every time he saw that, it reminded him to slow down in life so that nobody would ever have to throw a brick at him again to get his attention. Listen, sometimes we get zooming through life so fast, we don't hear God. And you know, sometimes God has to throw a brick or two to get our attention. How many of you ever had that experience? God had to throw a brick your way to get your attention. He wanted to speak to you. Yeah. Well, here's God speaking to Moses. And you know, it's interesting. Moses was busy when God spoke to him. He was tending his sheep. He was on duty. He was doing his job. You know, something about that. I found this. There's an old principle. You know, it's easier to steer a moving vehicle than one standing still. And we need to be faithfully doing our duty, doing what we're supposed to be doing for the Lord, and listening for His voice, so that as we're going, doing our work, He can steer us a lot easier. We need to be faithful. Moses was faithful. He was tending his sheep. By the way, when we're faithful and we're dedicating ourselves to our God-given task, whatever it might be, understand that there's going to be sacrifice involved. See, Many times we have to give up some of our personal pursuits to pursue what God wants. I believe that's the reason why a lot of times Christians aren't serving the Lord. Ooh. See, they don't want to give up personal things so they can do what God wants. More concerned about doing what they want than what God wants. If we're going to be serious about serving the Lord, we have to be willing to sacrifice some things. It's going to cost. And we've got to be willing to pay the cost. You know, sometimes it means we have to turn our back on other people. This is sad, but you know, many times it's families that keep people from serving the Lord like they should. It's families who give people the hardest time about being faithful. How many of you know the name William Borden? How many of you know the name Elsie the Cow? That was William Borden's family. The Borden family. William was a man who chose to honor the Lord, and a lot of people didn't understand him. See, he grew up in this wealthy Borden family. For his high school graduation gift, now, I wouldn't mind this gift, I guess. His parents gave him a trip around Asia and Europe for graduation. But rather than enjoy the whole trip for himself, Borden had this burden for the need of people around the world, their need to know Christ. They needed to know the Lord. And God burdened his heart to serve these people as a missionary. When he told his parents God wants him to be a missionary, it was not a pleasant scene. His family was irate. One friend even said this to him, said about him. He said, William Borden is throwing himself away as a missionary. But William Borden turned his back on all that and went to serve the Lord. You know what he said later? No reserves. They cut him off. When he did that, his family cut him off. But he said, no reserves and no regrets. See, sometimes it's going to cost us. There's sacrifices if we're really going to be serious about serving the Lord. Now, sometimes I said God has to throw a brick at us to get our... Have you ever realized how many times God had to do that to people in the Bible? I mean, really do something drastic in their life to get their attention? Well, here's Moses. He's in the backside of a desert. All of a sudden, this bush starts burning. But it's not consumed. And then it starts talking to him. Yeah. God was getting his attention. How about Balaam? Guess who talked to Balaam? The jackass. Yeah. Samuel. Stillness of the night, God spoke to Samuel. 3 times. Isaiah, God gives him this vision of the temple. And boy, if you ever read about that. Jonah. Big storm and big fish. Got his attention. Swimming around in whale puke. How about the 5,000 people when they were hungry? Hunger got their attention. The disciples out there in that sea, remember? They're out there in the sea and they think they're going to sink. Mary, Martha, and the Jews. Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. Saul's on the road to Damascus. He's going to kill more Christians. And all of a sudden, this bright light shines around him. He's smitten to the ground. Boy, talk about having a brick thrown at your door. But see, all these were cases where God was trying to get these people's attention. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want any more bricks thrown at my door. I don't want any more dents. So I've just made up my mind to this. I'm going to work hard at listening. I'm going to try to be attentive so he don't have to do that. That's a good decision to make. Lord, I'm going to listen to you. So you have my attention. Well, Moses gave his attention. The bush was burning. Certainly it was burning. The Bible says so. You know, two places in the Bible it says this bush was burning. Do you know that? It says it here. If you go over to Acts chapter 7, Stephen is preaching, and he talks about the burning bush. So now the bush is burning, and sure draws Moses' attention. And he draws near. By the way, if you want to hear from God, you got to get close to him. James says, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. This burning bush experience was about to change and redirect Moses' whole life. I don't know. I got to be honest. I guess I've had some of those experiences. God spoke to me and changed my whole life. So the bush is burning over there. But it was like no bush he ever saw burn before. Now, think about this. Don't you think Moses had ever seen a bush burning out in the wilderness before? He probably saw lightning striking on occasions. And fire was not, I don't think it was a stranger to him to see fire. But he never saw a bush burning like this one. This bush burned, but it didn't burn up. It was burning, I mean really burning, but it wasn't consumed. And Moses realized this isn't the norm. This is God. You know, God created the physical world, and God has full control of the world. And God can do whatever he wants with this world. I don't know why man thinks God is somehow governed by the laws of science. You ever think about that? They say the miracles couldn't happen because science says those things can't happen. Oh, wait a minute, God's higher than science any day. And God can do whatever he wants with his creation. He can make a bush burn and not be consumed. Jesus could walk on water. He could do that. He could heal people. God can do whatever he wants. God can cause earthquakes. I was reading about the crucifixion today and how there was an earthquake when Jesus died on the cross. By the way, there was another earthquake Sunday morning. There's two earthquakes. God can do that. He can do whatever he wants with this world. But science says, oh, no, that can't happen. You can't part water or like the Red Sea parting. God can. Do whatever he wants. Now, God displays his glory here, so to speak, to Moses, that he can do that. And you know, sometimes God wants to display himself to us in very special ways. But we don't have to wait for a burning bush. We can be in his presence like Moses was. Here's Moses. He gets to come into the presence of God. Understand, the tabernacle hasn't come into existence yet. And so nobody really at this point has any kind of access to God. Later, God will have the tabernacle and the high priest can come in once a year. And later God will speak to Moses face to face on several occasions. But up to this time, there was no place where people could just go and be with God. But you know, you can. We never think how privileged we are to be New Testament Christians. But listen, we have access to people we read about in the Old Testament never had. If you're saved, the Bible says you can come boldly to the throne of grace to seek help in your time of need, anytime, any place, you have access to God. We don't think much about that, do we? Let's go in our prayers and, okay, God, I'm going to pray to you. What a privilege it is. That's why Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Moses gave his attention. God wants to speak to him. Okay, Lord, I'm listening. And then he gave his reverence. In verses 5 and 6, God said to him, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face. He was afraid to look upon God. We see Moses being confronted, if you will, by God. And how he responds to this thing. God tells him to remove his shoes. By the way, I believe he did. I believe that's a sign of his reverence. God told him, you're standing on holy ground. You're in a holy place. You're in my presence. And I said about that Holy of Holies in the Old Testament, that was where the high priest would go in and meet with God once a year. And that was a holy place. Only one man and all of those 2 million people could go. Holy place. And if you read the Old Testament, you find out all the things that he had to do. He had to dress appropriately and take the blood in and all that kind of thing just to go there. But again, we have access. We don't have to wait for a special sign or a miracle. Go to God anytime. Moses now is in God's presence. And we find this. He was on holy ground. And then look at this. The response of Moses. Once Moses realized what's going on, that God is now speaking personally to him, he hides his face. Well, why did he do that? Because Moses realized he was not worthy to look at God. And I think that demonstrates the humility of Moses. By the way, Moses was a meek, and we said last week, doesn't mean weak. Meek is strength under control. And he was a humble man. And so he comes humbly before the Lord. He covers his face. And Moses, like David, understood God is looking for brokenness. God is looking for humility. David said in Psalm 51:17, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Brokenness, contriteness are things God will bless. I've learned this over the years. A lot of times, people have to be broken before God can use them. Mm-hmm. What do you mean broken? I used to watch the cowboy pictures. How many of you watched them? Yeah, Bonanza and all those, you know. Every once in a while, they'd have a scene where they have this wild horse. And they want to be able to ride this wild horse, so they had to do what they call breaking him. So they put him in a corral, and they'd work with it a little bit, you know, and then they'd put a saddle on it and work with it a little bit, and then they'd put somebody in the saddle. And, of course, the horse didn't like all this. But then, you know, in the end, in the cowboy picture, the hero would come. I can break that horse. And he'd get on that baby, and he'd get in that saddle, and the horse would buck and stuff, and he'd just stay right there, and pretty soon the horse would be broken. You know what that brokenness was? That horse was submitted to the will of the guy in the saddle. God's looking for some Christians who are broken. That means your will is broken and submitted to the man who's in leadership, who's in the saddle. Brokenness and a contrite spirit, a humble spirit. When someone has those qualities, God blesses them. Isaiah said this in Isaiah 57:15. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. I pray for revival on a regular basis. Do you pray for revival? Oftentimes, you know, we've heard messages. I've heard on 2 Chronicles 7:14 about the recipe for revival where God says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. A humble, a contrite, a broken spirit. See, if we really want to be heard by God and blessed by God and used by God, we need to humble ourselves and pray and seek His face and turn from our wicked ways. Proverbs 3:34, surely He scorneth the scorners, but He giveth grace unto the lowly. James 4, verses 6 and 10, but He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. He shall lift you up. Peter says in 1 Peter 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Here's another problem I think a lot of Christians have. Not willing to humble themselves and submit to God. We talk about humbling ourselves, you know, and we think, well, that's not a hard thing. But one of the hardest things you'll do. You say, well, I think I'm humble. Well, then you're not. Humble ourselves in the sight of God. Realize who He is and who we are. You know, a lot of Bible passages illustrate about people in the Bible and how they reacted when they were in the presence of God. It talks about Adam and Eve. And you know, when they after they had sinned, remember how they reacted in the presence of God? They tried to hide. Remember that? Have you figured out yet you can't hide from God? Noah? Noah, the one man who found grace in God's sight, took care to do exactly as God had told him to do. That's how he reacted. Obedience. Joshua. He just listened and he passed on to the people God's directions and God's promises. That's how he reacted. Job abhorred himself and repented in the dust and ashes. Isaiah cried, woe is me, for I'm undone. Ezekiel says he fell on his face. Saul of Tarsus was trembling and astonished and asked two questions. He said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And then he asked this question, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" You ever ask God that question? A lot of Christians don't want to ask because they're afraid to answer. Well, our relationship with God is going to reflect how we respond to God and His presence with us. You know, when we're in sin, we might hang our head in God's presence, and in sorrow, we embrace Him. But Moses had a right response. He humbled himself. And then notice this, he gave obedience. Somebody said this, and I've said it many times, hearing the words of God is quite different from obeying them. One of the most wonderful things that can ever be said about a Christian is that he's an obedient or she's an obedient Christian. Obedience to the Lord. Now, Moses wasn't, how do I want to say this? Moses wasn't a pushover. Moses came to that place of obedience, didn't he? But that was not his first response, was it? Did you ever think about this? You and I are many times like Moses, and not in the right way. We make excuses. I've learned this. People will justify anything they do. And if they're confronted with something, they'll make an excuse. So, you know, as a pastor, I just understand if I have to confront somebody with something, they're going to have an excuse. Illustration. Somebody lays out a church. So what's the preacher do? He waits a couple of weeks. They're still not in church. So he goes by. "Hey, how you doing? Been missing you." Now, I know what they're going to say. "Oh, well, we've been busy, or we've been sick, or this happened, or that." They're going to have an excuse. Instead of saying, "Well, I'm mad at you, preacher," and being honest. Or, "Somebody hurt my feelings, so I haven't been coming." Or, "I'm just a lazy, no good for nothing who don't get out of bed Sunday morning." No, we don't do that. Make an excuse. Here's why. You know, I've worked with a lot of young people. I worked with teenagers and Faith Baptists with Pastor Vedena and down at Trinity and Gastonia and some here, you know. And boy, young people are great for excuses. I mean, they just have a whole book full. And some of them, and as a kid we used to say this, a poor excuse is better than no excuse. And I have heard some of the lamest excuses you could ever imagine. We read about Moses. Look what he said here. Verse 11. And Moses said unto God, "Who am I? I should go unto Pharaoh and I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt." Now, if we go into chapter 4, and we know the story, Moses makes these excuses. First here he says, "Who am I?" Moses is saying, "What qualifies me? What makes you think I can do this?" But see, God don't call people to do stuff that He don't enable them to do. What kind of a God would we have if He did that? What kind of a God would He be if He said, "Moses, I want you to lead my people out of Egypt, and you're going to take them out in that wilderness, and you're going to have them out there for 40 years. And then God didn't enable him to do that. Wouldn't be a very good God, would he? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Isn't that in the Bible? That was his first excuse. That one didn't work. God didn't buy that one. Well, Moses, you know, he said, well, I got another one. Well, let me go back. I'm not there, ready for that yet. In chapter 4, look at this other excuse. Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Moses said, nobody's going to believe you told me to do this. Can I share this with you? It doesn't matter whether people believe that God told you to do something or not. If you know God told you to do it, do it. We're not in a popularity contest. Are you? We're not. We don't need the approval of men. We need the approval of God. Think about William Borden, what I said about him, how he turned his back on his family and went to the mission field because he knew that's what God told him to do. People ridiculed him and mocked him and made fun of him. But he knew that's what God told him to do. They're not going to believe me. They're not going to listen to me. By the way, sometimes that's the heart of a pastor. They will not hearken unto my voice. People come into church and preacher preaches and shows them Bible. Hey, here's what God says. Hey, God says this. God says that. And they go out of here and they say, well, I just don't agree with that. I don't care what the preacher says. And then look at verse 10. Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, for I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Many believe Moses had a speech impediment. That he might well have had a problem. Stuttering. Could be. But again, he's making an excuse not to do what God told him to do. Listen, if God told him to do it, God's going to make a way. Moses wasn't the first one. He wasn't the last one to give excuses to God. How about Adam's excuse? Do you remember Adam? God said, what have you done? What did he say? The woman that thou hast given me gave to me and I did eat. Blame shifting excuse. How about when he confronted Eve? What did she say? She couldn't point to Adam. She blamed the serpent. The serpent beguiled me. Well, you didn't have to listen to him. When God confronted Cain, what did he say? Am I my brother's keeper? When God told Gideon to go against the Midianites, he said, oh, God, I'm not a warrior. I'm not. Jesus called on others to follow him, and one fellow said, let me first bury my father. Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead. And in Luke 14, Jesus talks about those who made excuses refusing to accept God's invitation there. Oh boy, what lame excuses they were. I bought a piece of land and I got to go look at it. Are you that stupid that you would buy a piece of land you never saw? Well, anyway. Now, we can be very critical of people and their excuses, can't we? But how about the excuses of today? People don't often say this to me, but people think this. When I preach about tithing, I can't afford to tithe. Friend, that's nothing but an excuse. You're trying to excuse being disobedient to God. See, God promises if you honor Him with the tithes and offerings, He's going to make you able to afford it. Amen. I can't do anything for the Lord, preacher. I don't have any gifts. I can't sing. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I'm thinking of a man right now who's a missionary. I didn't know the man. And then one day I met him, talked to him a little bit, and I found out what he was doing. I ran into his pastor. And his pastor told me this. I said about this missionary and all. He said, yeah, he said, when that fella came to me and said God wanted him to be a missionary, he said, I knew the man wasn't the brightest bulb in the package. I'm not trying to be unkind. He said, but, you know, I really wondered. He said, so the man told me he was going to look for a mission board to send him or to help him so he could go. And his preacher said, well, yeah, go ahead. And the preacher told me this. He said, I never dreamed that any mission board would take him. He came back a few weeks later. He said, I got a mission board. The preacher said, you did? He said, yeah. And he told him. And the man went on deputation. The man and his family went off to the mission field, did a wonderful work for the Lord for several years. See, the point is this. God don't need a lot of talent. You listen to me? God's not even looking for talent. God's looking for availability. God's looking for willingness. He can take somebody who's willing, who don't have a lot of talent, and do great things. But He can't take somebody with talent who has no willingness and do great things. So if you're in that boat where you say, well, I don't have a lot to offer, I don't have this, I don't have, quit telling God that. He knows what you have. He made excuses and He made changes. There was a change in His calling. You know, oftentimes God will ask us to leave the familiar, the known, our comfort zone, to go to something far better. But we have to do it by faith. In Luke 5:11, the disciples of Jesus Christ, He said they had to be willing to forsake all to follow Him. Sometimes we have to leave some things behind. Moses had changes in his life. He went from being a leader of sheep to being a leader of men. Now, did Moses ever dream he was going to do that? He's back there tending his sheep, just going along in life, you know, skating through life, like so many of us. And all of a sudden, God lays something on him. Moses, I don't want you leading sheep. I want you to lead men. Big change in his life. But see, he had to be willing to turn his back on where he was and what he had and go by faith to what God had for him. You know, Sometimes we butt heads with God, don't we? Anybody in here ever butt heads with God? Be honest. Yeah, God wanted something, you didn't. And hopefully you came to a place where you said, okay, God, I'm going to obey you. And see, that's where the blessings come. God blesses obedience. Now, we have retrospect. We can look back. You know, somebody said the Monday morning quarterback is always on target. We can look back and see, but Moses couldn't. But when we look back, we see how much greater importance Moses' life took on because he made these changes. He wasn't like an old mule who bucked up. You know, sometimes our stubbornness gets us in trouble. Read about two ships that collided in the Black Sea. This was in the mid-80s. Because of that, several hundred passengers drowned. They did an investigation on why these two ships collided. There was no fog, there was no reason they should have collided. And they found out the reason these two ships collided was because neither captain would change course. They said, let the other guy change course. And their stubbornness cost a lot of people their lives. Are you stubborn with God? God ever wants you to change course? And no, I'm not changing course. I'm glad Moses did. And boy, we read about how God used him and what God did with him. But see, this was an encounter Moses had where he, you watching? He listened. He heard God speak to him. And we're going to see, he not only heard God, but he obeyed God. And look what God did with him. He's just an old sheep herder, backside of a desert, nobody knows him. 40 years. God said, I got something for you to do. And Moses came to that place where he said, okay, I'll do what you want. He left his sheep, and he got 2 million Jews. But I wonder how many days Moses wished he was back tending sheep. Huh? You ever think about that? Lord, I had it good, man. I had my sheep and me. It was quiet. Nobody hassled me. Nobody fought with me. Nobody blamed me. I wonder. But I'm glad he obeyed God. Have you obeyed God? Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for Moses. Thank you for his example. And Lord, so many other examples in the Bible. We read about Moses and this burning bush. We just kind of read about it and gloss over it. But Lord, what a dramatic change in Moses' life as a result of that time. That brick you threw in his way to get his attention when he focused on you. And he heard your voice, and he listened to you. Oh, might we be like Moses, to hear your voice and obey you in all matters. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.